Four college friends move to New York with dreams bigger than their wallets. Willem waits tables while auditioning for acting roles. JB creates art from unconventional materials. Malcolm designs buildings he doesn't yet believe in. And Jude, brilliant, limping, secretive Jude, keeps everyone at arm's length while excelling at everything he touches. What starts as a story about ambition and friendship slowly peels back layers to reveal something far more devastating, a meditation on whether love can ever truly heal the deepest wounds we carry. Their bond forms in cramped apartments and cheap Chinatown restaurants, splitting meals while navigating rejection from landlords, casting directors, and uncertain futures. Malcolm lives in his parents' basement, making nightly lists of unresolvable problems. JB photographs his friends obsessively, turning their lives into unauthorized art. Willem reflects on his Wyoming childhood, caring for his brother Hemming, who had cerebral palsy, understanding that some love means staying when leaving would be easier. But Jude remains their mystery. They nickname him the Postman. Post-sexual, post-racial, post-identity, post-past. When asked about his limp, he offers fragments. It was a car injury. I was 15. Notice how he says injury, not accident, a distinction hinting at unspoken horrors. His friends accept this opacity because friendship sometimes requires loving someone you'll never fully understand. The truth emerges like a slow-motion avalanche. Abandoned at a monastery as an infant, Jude endured systematic abuse from those meant to protect him. Brother Luke, who once gave him wooden building blocks, kidnapped him at 9 and sold his body for years. After escaping, he landed with Dr. Traylor, who subjected him to medical torture. On Jude's 15th birthday, Dr. Traylor forced him into a car trunk, drove him to an empty field, and ran him over when he couldn't rise after falling repeatedly. These aren't just memories. They're the foundation of Jude's entire identity. His social worker, Anna, the only adult who never betrayed him, urged him before her death. You'll find your own way to discuss what happened to you. You'll have to if you ever want to be close to anyone. But how do you explain the unexplainable? Jude chooses silence, believing that revealing his past would transform him in others' eyes, from person to victim, from friend to damaged goods. Despite everything, Jude becomes a legal prodigy. He clerks for Judge Sullivan, who becomes the father figure he never had, then rises through the U.S. Attorney's Office with ferocious brilliance before making partner at a prestigious firm in record time. His Green Street apartment becomes both sanctuary and prison, a space Malcolm carefully renovates with subtle accessibility features that acknowledge Jude's deteriorating body without naming it. Willem transforms from waiter to acclaimed actor, his breakthrough role as a troubled mathematician earning him career-changing recognition. JB's provocative portraits hang in major galleries, though his unauthorized paintings of Jude's scars fracture their friendship. Malcolm establishes his own architectural firm, designing buildings that stand as permanent testaments to his vision. Their professional triumphs create strange dissonance. They've achieved the dreams they whispered about in cramped apartments, yet success doesn't insulate them from deeper struggles. If anything, it highlights the gap between external achievement and internal peace, a gap that, for Jude, becomes an unbridgeable chasm. Jude's adoption by his former professor Harold and his wife Julia offers something revolutionary: parents who choose him without conditions. During the adoption ceremony, he experiences a full week without self-harm, the first in nearly 20 years. But this peace shatters when he attempts a romantic relationship with Caleb, who becomes increasingly abusive, forcing Jude to repeat degrading mantras: I'm repulsive, I'm disgusting, I'm worthless. After Caleb kicks him down a staircase, Jude thinks of the axiom of equality that X always equals X, realizing that despite his successful life, he remains fundamentally the person who inspires disgust. This crisis transforms his relationship with Willem. After Jude's suicide attempt, Willem moves in permanently, and their friendship evolves into something deeper. Yet intimacy remains fraught. Jude maintains rigid boundaries. No nakedness in daylight, no shared bathing, invisible walls around physical contact. Each intimate moment simultaneously draws them closer while Jude retreats further, as if connection and self-protection must coexist in permanent tension. When questioned about their relationship, Willem declares to the press, "I'm not in a relationship with a man. I'm in a relationship with Jude." This statement captures how their bond transcends conventional categories, existing where deep understanding meets profound limitation. A drunk driver runs a red light. The impact destroys Willem's face so completely that Jude must identify his body by birthmarks. Malcolm and his girlfriend Sophie die instantly. In one moment, Jude's carefully constructed world disintegrates. Jude rations Willem's films like a miser, watching only specific scenes at predetermined intervals. He reads their saved emails on a strict schedule. Most devastatingly, he constructs an elaborate fantasy where Willem is shooting a film about Russian cosmonauts stranded in space, unable to communicate with Earth. Every night, he writes detailed emails describing his day, maintaining the illusion that Willem is simply unreachable rather than gone. He begins starving himself deliberately, discovering that extreme hunger induces hallucinations of Willem. These moments become precious brief glimpses of what he's lost. Though he promised Harold not to take his own life, starvation provides a loophole, a slower path to the same destination. Richard forces his way into the apartment on Jude's birthday, finding him severely weakened. Harold and Julia consider relocating. JB creates a retrospective exhibition chronicling their friendship through art. But some losses are too profound for even the most devoted friends to heal. At 53, 5 years after Willem's death, Jude takes his life by injecting air into an artery, a method learned during legal research. He leaves his apartment meticulously arranged, with detailed instructions and letters, his final act of consideration for those he leaves behind. Throughout this devastating narrative, friendship serves as both salvation and limitation. Willem's unwavering support, Harold and Julia's adoption, JB's artistic documentation, Malcolm's thoughtful design, all offer transformative love. Yet they cannot erase the fundamental wounds. Even Willem never fully understood the depth of Jude's self-loathing. Jude once told a young man he tutored, "The only trick of friendship is to find people who are better than you are, not smarter, not cooler, but kinder and more generous and more forgiving, and then to appreciate them." He found such people. They loved him fiercely. But love, however genuine, cannot always overcome trauma that runs deeper than words can reach. What stays with you? Some wounds don't heal, some pain doesn't fade, and sometimes love, however profound, isn't enough. Yet the attempt matters. The friendships, the small acts of care, the moments of connection. These don't erase suffering, but they make it bearable. In a world that insists every story needs redemption, a little life dares to suggest that bearing witness to someone's pain, standing beside them even when you cannot save them, is its own form of grace.